for some weeks now that I entitled The Fear Factor. And so today we'll conclude that series and we'll talk about another fear this morning. But what we've been doing is to take different examples from the Bible and to show you how fear can be overcome by faith. And if you remember, we started the series way back when we talked about David and Goliath. And we started with that, and then we came through the Bible, giving different examples of how to conquer the common fears that we have in our lives. We talked about the fear of loneliness. We talked about the fear of death. We talked about the fear of failure, and a number of those fears that we talked about in this series. Today, I'm going to talk about a fear that really has gotten a bad rap. And there seemingly is, in our day, a negative connotation concerning the fear that we're going to talk about today, and that is the fear of God. Over and over again in the Bible, though, we are reminded that we are to fear the Lord. And so when you come to this subject today, what you've got to ask yourself is, how does God want me to look at this? How can we understand this? And how can it be a benefit to our lives? This morning, what I'm going to do is talk to you about a very, proper way to understand this and to deal with this fear of God in a very positive way. So there's a positive aspect to it. There's going to be a personal aspect to this message today. And then there'll be a practical part of this sermon that I want to deal with today. Now, the fear of the Lord is something that for most of us doesn't come natural. So why is it the Bible tells us that we are to fear the Lord? Well, the fear of the Lord that we're going to talk about today really is not a negative thing. We're talking about a healthy fear of the Lord. Do you realize it was the fear of the Lord that was the glue that held the nation of Israel together? But it's not only the glue that held the nation of Israel together, but the fear of the Lord is the glue that holds any nation together. It is the fear of the Lord, the glue that holds any church together. It's the fear of the Lord that holds any society together, the standards and norms that we have. You know, the fear of the Lord is what holds that together. I think the commentary, though, on much of society today can be demonstrated in the attitude of Katharine Hepburn. She was an actress, a former actress, yesterday. But her attitude about the fear of the Lord was this. Here's what she said. She said, "I do not look forward to the afterlife." She says, "I have no fear of hell. I do not look forward to a place called heaven." And I'm afraid that attitude is the majority of the attitude that we find in a lot of society today. And so if you don't want to know why, you know, things are going on in the world like they're going on today, I really do believe that the greatest need that we have today is to come back to a proper and healthy understanding of what the fear of the Lord is all about. Listen to it in Psalm 147 and verse 11. "The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him." So there you have it. It pleases the Lord for us to have a healthy fear of Him. Now the key takeaway this morning is simply this. The fear of God. It's a fear that I want to have and hold in my life every day that I live. But I want this to be a healthy fear. When it comes to the fear of God, as it's presented in the Bible, and a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord, there is a balance here. Some people describe it this way. There is a dread, but there is also a devotion. There is a fear, but there's also a love. Someone has said it this way. The one who fears God the most also loves God the best. And that's where that tension is. And understanding what the fear of the Lord is all about. So this morning, as we conclude this series, then what I want you to leave here today with are these principles that I'm going to share with you that will give you a healthy understanding and a healthy attitude of what the Bible says when it comes to the fear of the Lord. Now, the Lord wants us to have this proper understanding. This fear of the Lord is the beginning of our relationship with Him. It starts with this. We can talk about the love of God. We can talk about the faithfulness of God. We can talk about the greatness of God and all that. But also when you talk about the fear of the Lord, here's what we're talking about. We're talking about understanding who God is, an understanding of what God has done, and an understanding of what He will do in the future. And so really what that does is it brings us into that proper understanding of the God that we're talking about this morning. So I want you to have this understanding of the fear of God and make sure that you have this proper understanding of what the fear of God is all about. And so first of all, here's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how we must positively envision the fear of God. Now, like I said, the term the fear of the Lord really has a negative connotation with a lot of people. They look at this as a bad thing. But to have a proper understanding of the fear of the Lord really is a positive thing. It can bring a lot of benefit to our lives when we realize that we are to have this proper, healthy understanding of what the fear of the Lord is all about. There are verses in the Bible that say that we can come to God in confidence, and we can. There are verses in the Bible that talk about Jesus and how He invites us to come to Him. And so we understand that perfectly, that He's a God of love. And we understand that He's a God of gentleness and greatness and meekness and mercy and all that. But see, that's not all that God is. The Bible also says this. In describing God, the Bible says that we are to serve Him with reverence and with awe. And so when we talk about the fear of God, we're talking about an attitude of God that puts Him above everything there is, above every person, above everything that we are, everything that we would do. In other words, He is God, He is Lord, He is King, He is great, He is sovereign. That is who He is. He is a God of holiness. He's a God of righteousness. He's a God of justice. And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about understanding who God is. And so the Bible says that the beginning of knowledge, in Proverbs 1:7, the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. So the more we understand God, and the more we understand what the fear of the Lord is all about, then, you know, we gain that through the knowledge that we have of Him found in His Word. The Bible says this in describing God, that He is a consuming fire. Now, we know that fire can be a good thing, but we also know this, that fire is something that we need to fear, because fire out of control can do damage to our lives. You know, there's fears in life that we should have. Fears of height. Fear of danger. Fear of you know, the unknown and things like that. Those are common fears that we have. And so it is a healthy thing to have some fears in our life. Now, when it comes to God and we think about Him as the Bible says that He is a consuming fire, then we understand that we need to have a healthy, reverent respect and awe for God. He is above us. He is beyond us. He is the God that we worship. And so what that does is it gives us that motivation to love Him even more. And so there again, that's where the balance is. To say that I fear God also means to say that I love God. And to fear God means that I love Him more and more and more. So I just want us to understand this term as the Bible presents it, the fear of the Lord. I found this definition, and I'm going to go slow with this because I really want you to get it. And we're dealing with some pretty deep thoughts here this morning, but listen to this definition. The fear of God is the continual awareness that I am in the presence of a holy, just, and almighty God, and that every thought, word, action, and deed is open before Him and is being judged by Him. So again, if you understand that definition of the fear of God, then that is a healthy understanding of what the Bible is talking about when it's talking about the fear of the Lord. Let me try to simplify it if I can. In the Old Testament, the fear of the Lord is the same thing as the New Testament when the New Testament talks about faith in the Lord. Those terms are, you know, the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament. So there is a trust there. There's a belief there. There is faith there. That's what it means to put our trust and faith and hope in Him. That we have a healthy fear of the Lord and understanding who He is. He's in control. He's above everything. He knows my heart. He knows my actions. He knows my thoughts. He knows all that. And one day, as the Bible says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. Amen. It's an understanding that one day that we all will be accountable to Him. And so what is that? That is a healthy fear, an understanding of the term, the fear of the Lord. Now, also these benefits that come from this. The benefit of His protection. The benefit of His direction. In Psalm 25:12, He gives direction to those who fear Him. Psalm 34:7, He gives protection to those who fear Him. In our time of temptation, according to Proverbs 16:6, He gives victory over our time of temptation to those who fear Him. And then there's a quality of life that is promised to those who fear Him in Proverbs 22 and verse 4. So that's the positive way to embrace what the fear of the Lord is all about. We need to embrace it. We need to understand it and come to this proper understanding. So that's the positive aspect of this. But then what is the personal aspect of it? Well, secondly, the personal aspect of it is this, that we must personally experience the fear of God in our life. You see, Proverbs 1:7 says this, that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. What is the knowledge the book of Proverbs is talking about there? It's talking about the knowledge of God. It's talking about understanding who God is, knowing God, knowing that He's a God of love, that He's a God of forgiveness, that He's a God of mercy, that He's a God of faithfulness, all those attributes. But also it's understanding, you know, that we need to have this healthy fear of Him. And so the more that we get into the Word And the more that we understand about God, the more we respect. And the more of a healthy attitude we have toward this term, the fear of the Lord. But see, that's why it's the foundation of our relationship with Him. And my own personal testimony as a young man, when I came to Christ, I knew that Jesus loved me. I understood that. I understood that He died on the cross for my sin. But I also understood that I had sin in my life that He didn't like. I understood that it was sin that nailed Him to the cross. God doesn't like sin. I understood that my sin separated me from this loving God. And I had a healthy fear of the Lord and understanding that why I was accountable and I needed to do something about that. So in this idea of what we're talking about, the more I understood about God, the more I understood this, that He loved me so much and that He hated sin so much and that my sin separated me from Him, that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sin. I understood that. And I understood that I needed to have this healthy fear of Him. Again, you know, it's that reverence and awe, but it's also that dread, and it's that balance between all of that. But what it did was this. It really motivated me to fall in love with Him and to follow Him and to become a disciple of Jesus Christ and to follow Him. So that is a personal experience. So the very foundation of your faith and the very foundation of your relationship with God begins with this healthy understanding of what the fear of the Lord is all about. One of the great minds of yesterday, one of the great Christian minds, A.W. Tozer, said this. He said, "No one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God." No one can know the true grace of God who has not first known the fear of God. Psalm 85, verse 9. "Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him." Now, when we don't fear God, there's some things out of place. I'm out of place, and I put God out of place. And that's what the book of Psalms says to us. So here's what I want to talk about now in this personal experience that we have with God. You see, the fear of the Lord is not only something we learn. And we learn that from the Bible. We learn that in the experiences of life. But the fear of the Lord is also a choice that we make every day of our lives. Listen to it in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." So see, it is a choice. It is a choice that I make every day. In other words, it's a choice that I make on how I'm going to live my life every day, knowing that He knows every thought, He knows every word, He knows every motive, He knows my actions. As the Bible says, there is nothing that is hidden before Him. He knows it all. He knows my struggles, knows my pain, knows my heartaches, knows all of that. And so it's something we choose. It is a choice that we make. But that verse in Proverbs, the Lord is speaking through the writer of Proverbs here, and He said, "Surely I will pour out my spirit among you. I will make words known to you." And then He says, "Because I have called you, but you refused." That's a choice. We either choose God or we refuse Him. We choose to believe or not to believe. Verse 25, he said, I gave you my counsel, but you did not listen to my counsel. He's talking again here about his work in our life and his correction in our life. And he says, because you did not choose to fear me, then you will not receive me. And so what we're talking about here is a personal choice. When we make a personal choice for Jesus Christ, then we come to Him understanding who He is, what He has done, what He will do in the future. When I make that personal choice, I understand this. I understand that sin had to be dealt with. My relationship with God was broken, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. Do you remember what Adam did when he heard the voice of God in the Garden of Eden? And the voice of God was calling for Adam. What does the Bible say? The Bible says that he feared the Lord and he hid himself from him. I understand the seriousness of it, but I also understand this, that he paid the price for my relationship to be restored. That's why this relationship with God that I'm talking about this morning, that we all can have, the foundation of that is the fear of the Lord. And then thirdly, there's a very practical way to talk about this morning. We must practically embrace the fear of God. And how do we do that? Well, one example I think is seen in the book of Acts from a man by the name of Cornelius. And in Acts 16:22, here's the commentary on his life. Cornelius was a God-fearing man. How did they know that? How did they know that Cornelius was a God-fearing man? A man who had a healthy fear of God. Well, they knew it by how he lived every day of his life. So what are we saying here? Here's what we're saying. I'm saying it this way, that a healthy fear of God will affect my walk, my worship, and my witness. That's the practical point of this message today. A healthy fear of God affects my walk, how I live, the decisions I make every day of my life, considering, you know, who God is, what He wants, who He's done, what He's done, and all that. So all the decision making, all the guidance that I need, all the things every day of my life, that affects my walk, my relationship with people, decisions I make in my life, and then my worship. You know, when we come together to worship, this is a building, I understand that. But also in our worship time, there's a sense of reverence. There's a sense of awe. That's what worship is. We acknowledge God. And as we worship Him today, we understand that and know. So it does affect my worship. In other words, on Sunday morning when I come to worship, I'm going to give Him my very best. And then my witness. It affects my witness. And what I say about Him and how I represent Him to others and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now let me bring all this together. Like I said, this is, we've talked about some deep thoughts. And this subject, like I said, has gotten a lot of bad rap. You don't hear very many sermons about the fear of God, but I felt like in concluding this series, this is where we needed to go with it. But I found this verse in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 5. And the question I asked was, if we're to fear the Lord, then how can I increase that in my life? How can I make that a part of my life? Proverbs 2, 1 and 5 said this. My child, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord. And you will gain knowledge of God. So when we hear His Word, when we listen to Him, when we get into the Word, then we hear from Him and we understand what it is to fear Him. So that's where the relationship is. To fear God, we've got to hear Him and to listen to Him. Solomon came down to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 13, Solomon said, I want to give you the conclusion of the whole matter. Now, you know that the book of Ecclesiastes is his philosophy about life, and what he's doing is searching for meaning in life and significance in life and all that. And he says, here's my conclusion of the whole matter in Ecclesiastes 12, 13. He says, here's my final conclusion. Fear God and obey His commands, for this applies to every person. So Solomon, what is it? What's the conclusion of the matter? What is every person to do? Fear the Lord. Obey His commands. Because this is the responsibility of every person. Now the benefit of that is simply this. A proper fear of the Lord puts our love for Him at a greater depth. A proper fear of the Lord is the glue that will hold your life together and hold my life together. It is that glue that will keep me walking the way I need to walk. It is that glue that will keep me worshiping the way I need to worship. It is that glue that will help me be the witness that I need to be for Him. The benefits of it are so great. To know that I have His direction, to know that I have His protection, to know that I have His provision. The benefits of it are this, that when I go to bed at night, my conscience is clear, to know that I'm right with Him, to know that I have this healthy respect for Him, for the God that He is. You see, the fear of God is not a negative thing. The fear of God really is something that should motivate us to come to Him, to love Him more, and to deepen our commitment and devotion to Him. And that's where I want to be. This morning, I'm going to extend a gospel invitation. The invitation today is to come to Christ. Put faith in Him. Put trust in Him. As I talked about in my own testimony, come to that place in your life where you realize that when He died on the cross, that He died there for you. And He died there for me. And if we believe in Him and trust in Him, then the benefit of that is forgiveness of sin. Do I have a healthy fear of the Lord? You better believe it. Do I keep that in balance with my love for Him? I sure do. And that's what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. The commentary on much of society today is exactly what the Bible says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Romans chapter 3, Paul goes through a whole list of things there that are, you know, really not what God wants. Ungodly things and stuff like that. And he says the basic bottom line is this, that there is no fear of God before their eyes. You know why? Because the fear of God is a choice. What choice will you make today? Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank you today for your word. And I know this morning this is a subject that really we don't preach about a lot. We don't talk about a lot. A subject that I think that really has gotten a bad rap. For many, this is a very negative connotation, but it shouldn't be that way. We should embrace it as a positive thing. We should also experience this as a personal thing in our life. And I pray for those today who need to come, those who need to build that spiritual base in their life by coming to Christ today, believing in Him, believing in who He is, believing in what He has done, believing in what He will do. And Lord, in a very practical way, I pray that we would all apply the truth of this message today in our walk, in our worship, and in our witness. Father, I pray today that we would love you more and that we would come to understand you more through your word. In your name we pray. Amen. May be seated. Ushers, come forward, please. At this time, we'll receive our regular Sunday morning offering, so let's pray together. Lord, again, we just thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for the relationship that we can have with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his work on the cross for us. Father, today I pray that we all would leave here today with a healthy fear of the Lord in our life. I pray today that this would be a part of our everyday living and our everyday life. We thank you now for this time of giving today. I pray that you'd bless this offering, and may we honor you in our giving. In your name we pray. Amen.